Our scripture reading for tonight's lesson will be taken from Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Once again, good evening. We're glad with your presence. I'm glad you saw fit to come back and worship God a second time. As tonight, we will open the book of Psalms and we will learn from Psalm 100 as we continue our study through this great book of poetry in the Old Testament. A couple of reminders before we get going. Of course, it is poetry. It's Hebrew poetry, so it doesn't have to rhyme. And it doesn't have to look like we would normally expect the poem to be structured. But if you took it back to the original language, it would be structured in a way that would make more sense if you spoke Hebrew. Each psalm stands alone and is independent, so Psalm 100 is not the follow-up necessarily to 99. And it does not necessarily segue into 101. It is its own document, and it just happens to be at this point in the book of Psalms. So with that, let us look at this psalm. And as a side note, if my memory serves me correct, this was the first psalm I ever preached in its entirety. And it's also just five verses, so why not start on a relatively easy one? But normally we go verse by verse. Tonight I want us to read all five verses, and it's a psalm I'm sure you're familiar with. And then I want us to back up and see some different applications from this lesson. So let's start over here, Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Just five short, simple verses. But I want us to look at different types that this psalm is. If you will, there's seven of them. And you're thinking, oh no, seven. No, they're pretty quick and easy. So first off, this is a psalm of praise. Would you not agree that even from the beginning it says the title is a psalm of praise? It is a psalm of worship. This is a psalm that has been sung time and time and time again throughout the ages. In the 1500s, it was rewritten, kind of changed the wording a little bit, by an old Scottish preacher named William Keith. He fled from his homeland in Switzerland, or to Switzerland. There's a Catholic queen called Mary. She was the Queen of England, and she was persecuting Christians. And so he fled to Switzerland, and among that move, he actually wrote this as a song that was in some songbooks. He also helped translate the Geneva Bible, which is the Bible that the Puritans had. It's the Bible that came over on the Mayflower, but that's getting into that a little more than I wanted to. But the song that he wrote, and compare it with 100 here, it says, all the people on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, serve him with fear, his praise forth tell, come ye before him and rejoice. The Lord ye know is God indeed, without our aid he did us make, we are his flock, he doth us feed, and for his sheep he doth us take. Oh, enter then his gates with praise, approach with joy his courts unto, praise Lord and bless his name always, for it is seemly so to do. For why? The Lord our God is good, his mercy is forever sure, his truth at all times firmly stood, and from ages to ages endure. That's the same sentiment here that we see in Psalm 100. So from the first word to the last word, it is a psalm of praise. We're praising God Almighty in heaven. But secondly, tonight, we see that it is a psalm of joy. A psalm of joy. We talked this morning in our sermon about the Christian's joy in the past, present, and future. But here in Psalm 100, the third word in the psalm, make a joyful noise. What's a joyful noise? Well, he doesn't specifically say it has to be in this key or this meter or this time. You know, men have long tried to be happy without God. and it has yet to work out for them. In fact, they find no real lasting joy. Think about the rich young ruler in the New Testament. He says, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "I've kept the commandments from my youth up." What does Christ say? "Take all you have and give it to the poor." And he goes away sorrowful. He hadn't found true joy. He loved his earthly possessions too much. Think about the wise King Solomon, who literally had everything that a man could want and more. And what is the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes? It's all vanity. It's all useless. Man is trying to find a joy in things, but it's only in God. That's why Jesus Christ starts his Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 3 through 12, were the blessed orders. They've been called the be happy attitudes. Well, blessedness is the bliss of holy joy. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. John 15, 11, we mentioned this morning, but Jesus Christ says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We need to praise God joyfully. For those who love God and understand worship, and worship is a time of joy. I have enjoyed singing the songs that we have done this evening. I hope that you have as well, but it doesn't matter if I enjoy them or not because we're praising God. But worship is a time of joy. That's number two. But number three, one that a lot of people get hung up on. Psalm 100 is a psalm of singing. It is a psalm of singing. Once again, he says, make a joyful noise. Well, what is that? Well, that's you singing at your very best. Some people are blessed with beautiful singing ability. I know a lot of professional musicians, and they are good at singing, and some people are not. God doesn't say you have to do this. God says, make a joyful noise. Today, people in the world, people even in the Lord's church, get bored with making a joyful noise. And so they want to add something to the worship. They want to do something, as they say, to stir up their souls. So they have a drama team come in and they'll reenact a story in the Bible, or they'll have somebody with an emotional testimony come up and just start weeping left and right, trying to stir up emotion. Or they'll bring in a guitar and a banjo and a flute and drums, and they'll try to stir up an emotion. But the psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, brethren. It's not joyful if everything's going on at once and you can't focus on what he's trying to do. Some have said, well, we need to just have a big festival. We need to just have a big shout. No. We need to praise God the way he has said. The kind of joyful noise God wants to hear, it's us singing. If you would put your finger here in Psalm 100, and I want us to go back to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And even at the start of my Bible, I wrote, beside Psalm 100, see Psalm 66. And beside Psalm 66, I wrote, see Psalm 100. Why? Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his presence glorious. If you look at verse 3, it says, all the earth shall worship thee, shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name, Selah. That's an entire psalm as well about singing. Brethren, God wants us to praise him. He wants us to make a joyful noise. We should be excited to sing, and we should be willing to give God our worship, which, by the way, that's what the first century church did, was they sang out and they used their vocal cords to praise God, not instruments of music. So number three, our psalm is a psalm of singing. But number four, it's a psalm of God. It's a psalm of God. And if you went through it again, you're going to see that it is directed to God no less than 15 times in five verses. The last time I checked, that averages three times a verse. Everything is directed to the Lord. When we worship God, we are in his presence. And at the same time, it is reverent. It should be decent and in order, as Paul writes to those at Corinth. And it should be respectful. Why? Because we are serving God. He's our creator. He's our king. He's our shepherd. The Bible says that the Lord is God and the Lord is good. And I also like here how it states it in verse number 3, that we didn't make ourselves. Here the psalmist proves that evolution is not a thing. The psalmist proves that spontaneous generation is not a thing. He says, verse 3, that God made us. We didn't come up with ourselves on our own. So it is a psalm of God. But number 5 this morning, it is a psalm of gratitude. We are thanking God. Look at verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And also says, enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Well, no doubt, the psalmist is thinking about Jewish worship with courts and all these different places. But he's looking ahead too, talking about blessing. Colossians 3:15 says, be thankful. Colossians 3:16 says, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And Colossians 3:17 says, giving thanks to God and the Father by Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful for what he has done for us. Also Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God. When we sing, when we praise God, we should be thankful. Number 6 this evening, though, it is a psalm of mercy. Implications of mercy would be sin, and then we need forgiveness, and we need justification, which comes by the cross of Jesus Christ. And so there also had to be a propitiation. That's a Bible word. What does that mean? Well, it means the perfect sacrifice for sin. Who's that propitiation? Our Savior Jesus Christ. There needs to be mercy, but lastly, it's a psalm of truth. And we kind of run the last two together because mercy and truth, they're linked together. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We know that we're saved by mercy, but John 17:17 says, to sanctify them through thy truth. The word of God is truth. In John 8:32, you shall know the truth. The truth is what sets you free. So we know that we can know the truth, and we also know that truth is universal. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So it's not just here. It's not just in one area, but it's everlasting. So this is a psalm for the coming Christ, if you will. It is the gospel psalm that looks forward to the time of Christ. You know, the law of Moses was not for every creature. The law of Moses was for a specific group of people. But the gospel truly is for all. You know, last week, Sarah and I went to Atlanta. And one of the things we did is we went to the world of Coca-Cola. And they gave us a Coke and an outtube for what we paid to get in. And they were all the time playing this jingle as we were walking around. And you may remember it. Coke used to have a commercial. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You may remember that. That song may not be stuck in your head because it's been stuck in mine. And the idea behind that commercial was to get the entire world to sing in harmony, give them all a Coke, and then they'll take a sip, and then they'll all go, ah, all at the same time, and they'll be in harmony. I don't think it's going to work because there are too many people, and I like Coke Zero, not regular Coke. But do you realize that if we obey the gospel, and if we take the truth to all the world and to all generations, and they obey the gospel, and they come to his church in perfect harmony, that's making a joyful noise to the Lord. We're worshiping here as a faithful group up the road to another faithful group, and we're all worshiping in truth and in spirit. Isn't Psalm 100 just so beautiful? It teaches us to worship God, to want to worship God. And that shows that he is worthy of our worship. When you come to worship, do you think about the object of the worship? Do you think about who you're worshiping? Or do you just sing the song, sing the words on the page because they're there and you're just trying to get to the next song? No, you need to be focused on what you're doing. It takes all heart, soul, body, and mind to truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Are you doing what he said to do? Are you being obedient to his commands? Have you heard the gospel, believed it's true, repented of your sins, made that public confession, and been baptized, had your sins washed away? If you've not done that tonight, what is stopping you? What is it? I can't answer it for you, only you can. Why not come tonight and obey the gospel? Well, maybe you have, where most of us find ourselves in life. We remain faithful unto death, but if sin is once again entered your life and it literally separates you from God, why not come back this evening for repent of your sins and leave in a right relationship with God, realizing from Psalm 100 and other passages of why we need to worship God. If we can help you in your spiritual condition tonight, whether obeying the gospel or coming back repenting of sins, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing. Oh, good.